Okay. Yes. Dr. Sadlick? Ms. Tibbetts? Ms. Tibbetts? Ms. Gallen?
I'm here.
Dr. Campbell? Dr. Campbell?
We did.
Dr. Spatt? Dr. Rubin? Ms. Tibbetts, are you with us?
Yes.
Dr. Campbell?
Yes.
And Dr. Rubin, are you with us? Okay, we have two absent at this time, Dr. Puppio and Dr. Rubin.
So we still have
a quorum. Yes, we do. The decoration rule on June decoration conflict of interest. These reports will be written 24 hours previously. I think if there's no conflicts of interest, any board members have with the agenda. And that's it. We'll move on to the civility statement. In accordance with the open book, the meeting of the board has been called to the
a second. Dr. Campbell, is that you? Dr. Spatt. Okay, thank you. And roll call, Dr. Sadlick. And Ms. Tibbetts. Ms. Gallen. Dr. Campbell. Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Motion carries. No, I'm here. I did take roll. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hello, Dr. Rubin. Mm-hmm. And we did take roll on that, and it did pass. Did you want me to take roll again?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Anything more on that?
No, I'm sorry to interrupt, because I've been thinking from my end.
need it, but if everyone on your end heard it, then that's fine.
Thank you. I think we must have dropped out. Let's move on to number five, and we'll move on to Dr. Norris. Good afternoon, Mr. Board. My name is David Williams. I've got Dr. Norris with me. I am Dr. Norris of counsel. Okay. And Mr. Williams, hold on 1 second. I want to check for our case number 5A. And that's, can you correct me on this, Mr. Nathan, is that correct? And do you have counsel with you?
Not today.
The State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board received a notice from the Arizona Department of Health Services outlining an apparent discrepancy between the number of medical marijuana certifications issued by respondent between January 1st, 2020 and May 31st, 2020, and the number of CSPMP database queries respondent performed during that time frame. According to the notice, respondent certified 451 patients for medical marijuana during that time frame and queried the database 321 times. Respondent was notified of the complaint and asked to respond to the information provided by DHS. Attorney David Williams provided her response. According to the response, since January of 2018, respondent has been an independent contractor working at the location known as Price Chiropractic. Evan Price, D.C., is the owner of the practice. Stated in the response, quote, at all times when meeting with patients in regards to the need of medical marijuana, Dr. Norris will conduct a physical examination of the patient, review any pertinent medical records of the patient, determine the patient's response to conventional medical treatment of the therapies, and make an independent determination of any qualifying debilitating medical condition. Pursuant to their agreement, Dr. Norris ultimately made the decision on whether the patient qualified for medical marijuana certification. And then Dr. Price's staff would check the CSPMP database as required by Arizona Administrative Code R9172025III. Dr. Price and his staff repeatedly assured Dr. Norris that they were checking each of the prospective medical marijuana patients through the CSPMP database. As stated, AAC R9172025III is a statement initialed by the physician that the physician reviewed the qualifying patient's medical records, including medical records from other treating physicians from the previous 12 months, response to conventional medications and medical therapies, and profile of the Arizona Board of Pharmacy Controlled Substance Prescription Monitoring Program database. As part of the investigation, four patient charts were subpoenaed and reviewed. Records for all patient charts may not meet the standard of adequate medical records. For patient RJ and ZW, respondent relied on records from a chiropractor as past medical records. The chiropractor was seen the same day as the date of service with respondent. No other prior records were available for either chart. Respondent appears to have used the diagnosis charted by the chiropractor. Although respondent initialed she reviewed the patient's CSPMP profile for both RJ and ZW, the medical records do not contain the required copy of the CSPMP pursuant to ARS 32-1501-YY. From the statements made in her response, it appears Dr. Norris made a decision on whether to certify the patients for medical marijuana without seeing a copy of the CSPMP, but would initial the form that she had reviewed the report. Additionally, she would then rely on staff to run the report after the fact and relied on staff to make the determination regarding the results of the report when run. Respondent failed to complete the appropriate requirements for certifying a patient for medical marijuana and failed to keep adequate medical records. There are no vitals are recorded for any of the four charts. An appropriate physical examination may not have been provided.
Williams, you're the members of the board. Dr. Norris, as indicated in the response that Ms. Anthony quoted, it was her practice to rely upon the staff of chiropractic to check, to run the check to the DSCOD database. I do need to correct one statement that is in error in my letter of September 30th. In my letter of September 30th, I indicated that Dr. Norris made the decision and then directed staff to run the DSCOD. That's actually incorrect in my letter and the way I wrote it. The way it should have been read was Dr. Norris's practice would be to have the staff person at Price Chiropractic, who was a delegate on her account through the PMP database, to run the search. The staff person would then come back to Dr. Norris and either say, there is a report, here's a report, or there is a report, and then that's when Dr. Norris would make, in conjunction with other medical evidence, sign off on the certification for medical marijuana. So the error that she had here was that she was relying upon and delegated ultimately her responsibility to run these reports herself and review them directly before certifying medical marijuana, that the patient was eligible for medical marijuana. But since she left Price Chiropractic, I think this is really what is the important factor, is what is Dr. Norris doing now in her practice, and how does she currently run her practice? And as indicated on the second page of the letter, of our formal response dated September 30th, 2020, Dr. Norris now runs the CSCMP databases herself. Her typical standard practice would be when she runs the search through PMP, if she gets a record of no report, she'll note that in the patient's chart. If she gets a, if a report is found, but it's not within the time frame, she'll note that in the report or in the chart. And then if she does get a report back of some sort of controlled substance, then obviously that she places that actual report in the patient's chart. She goes over that with the patient. She reviews it with the patient and discusses it where relevant. If there's a report that's generated, her standard practice now is to always put the report in the patient chart, even if the patient chart doesn't include controlled substances, but may include something like testosterone or something like that, which may not have any direct impact on the patient's need for medical marijuana. That's been her practice since she left Price Chiropractic. And as you can see, at least from the DHS records show that there were no further issues after May 31, 2020, and I would assume that if Ms. Anthony is part of the board staff's investigation, that if there were some continuing problems, that would have been brought to the board's attention. So with respect to the certification process, Dr. Norris recognizes that she should not have delegated that to the staff, and ultimately, even if she chose to delegate it, it's ultimately her responsibility provider to ensure that the process is being followed. And it comes to my legal practice, I can rely upon paralegals or paraprofessionals to do certain tasks, but ultimately the licensed professional, it falls upon the licensed professional to comply with their obligations. And that's what Dr. Norris recognizes that there's an error in that she's correct. With respect to the other patient charts, as far as the two patient charts that were non-medical marijuana patients that were noted by the identity, the reason that there were not physical, a full examination of the patient is typically some of those patients are limited, what I would call limited scope type patients. They already have another primary care provider, and they will sometimes come to Dr. Norris for more limited issues, and Dr. Norris is then treating the patient for those specific limited issues. issues and realizing that there is already continuity of care because there's another primary care provider taking care of the patient. So she believed in her normal course of practice that if the patient was coming for something for a very specific reason, that essentially a full wellness examination of the patient wasn't necessary to address a specific patient complaint. Let me kind of shift gears. As far as resolution, members of the board, we believe that the proper resolution here is, to the extent the board feels as though some sort of corrective action is necessary, that some sort of non-disciplinary continuing education with respect to patient charting and preparation medical errors may be warranted. To the extent the board feels as though some sort of continuing remedial check is needed here, we don't believe that because there's no ongoing threat to the public or ongoing concern to the public, Dr. Norris has corrected those. She has no other history of discipline with this board. She takes her practice very seriously and made the corrections that were pointed out to her even before she became aware of with this complaint. So I submit to you, members of the board, that the proper resolution here would be some sort of non-disciplinary resolution.
Thanks, Mr. Lawrence. Appreciate it. So, board members, let me just kind of, we'll go through. Dr. Campbell, do you mind if I kick off with you and get your opinion? Or do you want me to start off with Dr. Rubin? He always tells me I pick on him, so I'll start off with you.
You were unable to hear me. Can you guys hear me okay now?
Yeah, I got you.
Very good. Thank you. Council, can you take me through the example of back when she was with a chiropractic? If the staff members have corroborated a person's prescription history, under what circumstances would they bring something to her attention, for any reason, the findings would warrant them coming to her and saying, hey, we have an issue here? Or was there anything like that that took place?
Dr. Rubin, the typical process would have been that the staff person would have checked, at least it was Dr. Norris's understanding, that the staff person would have run the search through the PMP database, and then if there was something that generated a report specifically related to controlled substances, they would always bring that back to Dr. Norris and, tell her about that, and then if there was necessary follow-up, she would typically instruct them for further follow-up.
Okay, and just for clarification, this is Clint Campbell. Now, if a prescription monitoring report showed a history within the last 6 months that a patient had received multiple prescriptions from different physicians, let's say benzos, and maybe that there was some type of habit that was forming for Xanax as an example, how would she handle that?
Dr. Campbell, let me do this. Dr. Norris is with me in my office, so I'm going to have her come close to the phone and ask her actually directly answer your question. I don't want to misstate what her process would be. So I'm going to let Dr. Norris answer your question directly. She's right here with me.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, this is Dr. Christine Norris. And, I really didn't, there are a few patients that I see that they have a longer history of taking sleeping pills or anxiety-type medications. And, I would just discuss with them that those are are not good long-term medications, and they need to work with their prescribing physician to get off of those medications. If they were in particular on opiates, for example, I clarified with them that the intention of the medical marijuana program was for them not to be taking any other types of, strong, scheduled pain medication, with NSAIDs or acetaminophen is a different situation, but and that they needed to agree that they were going to wean off of that medication. I don't have a follow-up process with them specifically because they are not my continuing, medication patients. But I did talk to them about it, and it was interesting because some people even said that their pain doctor sent them to get medical marijuana and told them both of them would be okay, but I disagreed with that. So, does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you. Now, respective to the actual report that you signed and sent into the Department of Health, do you recognize that when you initial and attest to the fact that you have reviewed that EMP, that there's a perspective to professional integrity, reasons behind why physicians are required to adhere to the regulations surrounding marijuana issuance and so on and so forth. And so it brings about some secondary concerns from the standpoint of if you're willing to put your name down on a piece of paper and sign and attest that you've done X, Y, and Z, but in fact it wasn't being done, that goes to diminish the trust that the public has within the overall profession. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir. And that is why, to the best of my knowledge, it was being done, but that's why I changed it. Before I even received notification from the board, I changed my process and started running it myself because I felt like that was the only way I could guarantee that it was being done.
Okay. And Dr. Campbell, I completely understand and respect the question you're asking. And as Dr. North indicated, that's exactly why she made that change. I think that we as professionals, licensed professionals, especially in a busy medical practice or in a naturopathic practice, we have delegated, we delegate those certain what we call administrative responsibilities to staff. And we rely upon the instructions that we give our staff to carry out the directions that we're giving them. Ultimately, Dr. Norris recognizes, as do all of us who are licensed in any profession by the state, we're ultimately responsible for the professional decisions we make. But I think she did, in good faith, rely upon the instructions that she was providing to those staff persons, and that those staff persons were carrying out her instructions accordingly. And obviously they weren't, and she's ultimately the one that has to answer for that.
Okay. All right, Dr.
Sadler,
right now. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Dr. Campbell. Dr. Rubin, suggestions, comments?
Yep, sorry, difficult time here. This is Dr. Dan Rubin. Thank you, Dr. Sadler. I don't really have any questions about the medical marijuana component of this. Mine is more related to the clinical aspect, and especially no matter to case reports that we have in hormone replacement therapy. So if you're willing to move on to that aspect, fine. If not, maybe come back to me after the board is done discussing the medical marijuana, because I understand what counsel has said, what Dr. Norris has said, changes seem to have been made, and I don't feel that anything has happened.
Okay. Let me come on back to you for the hormonal, what I'm starting to do. Spad in reference to the PMP and certification, medical certification cannabis. Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I'm just talking about this. Are you still seeing patients to certify patients for marijuana? Are you done with Dr. Kwan?
Dr. Noor still does treat medical marijuana patients, still goes through the certification process.
Okay. So I heard that she has changed the process of the way she's doing the formal thing that she's able to check the patient database now. Am I correct?
Yes, that is what she does as part of her normal course of practice. When she opens up her own office, she was just on a face with Dr. Price, but she essentially had a patient referral process. She used his office space. What she's doing now is, since she opened up her own office in early June of 2020, since that time, she runs all of her own search through the PMC database.
Okay. I don't have any further questions. Thank you.
Ms. Tennis, your viewpoint?
Thank you for the question. I'm satisfied with this particular discussion that's already taking place.
Okay. And now, Ms. Gallen?
Well, there's two patients that we were presented here who received hormone replacement therapy, and I need to talk about it because we're looking not only at charting but practice methodologies. There's a bioidentical hormone replacement therapy consent that each patient looks like they're required to sign. And patients are required to initial certain places. I'm at NOR0063 for everybody who wants to try the board packet. Counselor, Dr. Gore, I don't think you have another board packet, but this is a patient.
We actually do. We're on NOR0063.
It says the next page, 6-4. Hold on, let me get this. Okay, middle of the page, the third from the bottom, it looks like. I understand that in the event that Dr. Christy Norris, NMD, is not my primary care physician, then I must communicate the BHR treatment I'm receiving to my primary care physician. And, you know what? I read this wrong. Sorry. I thought, you know what? I'm going to rescind or redact what I'm saying. So let's do it. What I do want to ask about is the general mechanism. So we can scratch 0062 and 0064. I initially read it wrong. Dr. Norris, I'm concerned that you're prescribing female hormones and bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. But I work in the world of oncology and I have exclusively from the quarter century. And so I live in the world of breast cancer, gynecological cancer is what I do iteratively. And with these two cases we've been presented, I don't see any female exams. I don't see any mention of it. I don't see any communication with the primary care physician. So just the fact that they have a primary care physician doesn't mean that you're in contact or they're willing to work with you, or necessarily that the patient is a reliable source of communicating information between the primary care and you. You take responsibility entirely for what you prescribe in your care of your patient. Just because they have a primary care physician, which you attest to, doesn't mean that the primary care physician is engaged in your treatment. You need to know that. It doesn't come across completely clear. And what I was getting at in these forums is that there was some notion to me, and certainly this is just what I was feeling or thinking, is that you would want them to, that you would be communicating, but you wanted the patient to be communicating. But moreover, getting back to the screening, you're charting here that their E1 or estrone is normal, but you never looked at their estrone with their estradiol. And you're giving them female hormones, and I believe Biest contains estrone, if I'm not mistaken, So you're not measuring the restroom, nor are you measuring the restroom salt, nor are you measuring the androstenedione. So you're giving these hormones, and you're measuring them only annually for people. And you're not checking everything that you're giving, nor are you doing, if you get anything gynecological about a breast exam or a female exam or a pelvic exam, or even seeing a gynecologist, yet we're giving hormones that affect those systems. And that's something that I'd like to hear why you're, if you are just missing it in the chart, or if you're not doing it, why you aren't doing it year after year, and why. Then you're turning it, looks like a little cut and paste, or quite a bit of cut and paste, and so, it's not a shot. And so they're not advanced, but you're dealing with very serious, potentially serious issues. The reason I say that is I live in this world, and I see people who come to see me with, I'll leave it at that. I'd love to hear your argument.
So, Dr. Elizabeth Williams, I just, clarify, are you asking what Dr.
I'm asking specifically about these two patients and why I don't see any screening exams, why I don't see a complete list of hormones, why she's not measuring the hormones that she's prescribing, and why she, again, why she's not using a diagnosis code in her assessment. And then, yes, I would be specifically asking about a general workup, assuming that these two cases are a good overview of how she generally practices screening, well, and continuing to prescribe BHRT.
Okay. Dr. Gordon, you said next, go ahead to your question, sir.
And, hello, thank you. And I'm not a cancer expert by any means, and I do the best that I can in my medical history to at least ask if they have, you know, histories of blood clots or family histories of cancer. I also require in my consent, and I haven't followed survival method getting the records from their physicians, but it says women are required to have pap smears as frequently as indicated, mammograms, DEXA scans as indicated, and a pelvic ultrasound as indicated. It is required that you supply your naturopathic doctor with a copy of your record. So, you know, I am relying on them to be going to their regular checkup and getting these exams. And when I do a symptom review, and I do my annual appointment with them, I'm also, you know, asking, you know, if there's any changes in you know, everything from vaginal discharge to breast, you know, discharge or anything. And you're watching me, I've probably been not documenting conversations as well. I make it very clear to them any changes that they, even in their consent, that they are to contact me, but they deserve discontinue their treatment.
Well, Dr. Norris, I just want to say that if you're prescribing the hormones that are going to affect these systems for which they are going to need those workups, you are responsible for either prescribing those workups or you're responsible for gathering that information. And I don't see any evidence of that whatsoever in the strip, unless, of course, I miss something. It is not good enough, as a member of this board, to me and the clinical member of our naturopathic community, that you would just be saying, hey, I'm going to give this to you, but you got to go do this stuff, and I'm relying on you. I don't know that the patient truly understands that. I don't know that they have read through this. There's no indication that, for me, that's not good enough for them to understand the potential risks. And I don't see that you're following up. Yes, you're giving them the hormones. And so this is what I want to hear about things. And I think this is something we need to talk about your practice methodology, because I think you need to be putting people at risk.
I certainly appreciate your position on that, and certainly Dr. Norris, welcome. following best practices. And she certainly understands, and I'm hearing everything that you're talking about, and your points are very well taken. I understand that this is your opportunity to bring Dr. Norris in front of the board. With respect to the scope of what we were here for today, I think that's sort of what we were more prepared to respond to. But I also acknowledge that if, from a practitioner standpoint, if there are things that she needs to be doing differently, then let's address it and put it on the table so that she's aware of it and can make changes.
Understood, Dr. Satterwhite. I'm done, and I'm happy to wait until we have board discussion. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Rubin. Couple of quick questions I have. Currently, if a patient presents for medical cannabis, can you just give me the rundown on how that's currently being done?
So I get their information. I run the CNC report. I get whatever records they provide, and if they don't have adequate records, then I don't do anything. If they have adequate records, then I use those records. I talk to them. I do the normal, you know, sub-node type questions. I make sure that I would consider it to be chronic severe pain, and of whatever area that their complaint is, and specifically severe. And then I do whatever appropriate exam, and then I also always recommend alternating to marijuana, because, you know, I don't feel that as an advocate, available tool in the toolbox. So I recommend everything from PRP injections, which I do, to stretching and heat and CBD, irrespective of THC, and so on. And then they get the certification if they qualify.
Everything you put together, I think you probably got the point not to go send the PMP through unless you have all the paperwork done.
Right, I do the PMP before I
do. Right. So you're doing that, I thought, okay, great. Okay. And then just taking a slight tour on your journey, and you're not here on a hormone stay, but I just want to kind of reiterate on this point. When you're doing charting, if it's hormonal, bioidentical, hormonal replacement therapeutics, always get all your data first, and then if you need to, then look at the prescription after you obtained all the data. The problem, and I understand his point, is with breast carcinoma, et cetera, if there is a genetic predisposition that you're going to have to find out in your interview with them, you just don't want to push that envelope down the wrong alley with them. So get all your data for that, if you're going to go down that road, before you do your prescription. You might want to get your labs too, if possible.
I do currently do the medical intake and ask about family history, and I run labs before I prescribe. I have an initial meeting with them and make sure that I'm ordering whatever labs I feel are appropriate, male or female, and because if they have other health issues that I'm being asked to address, then I run labs at one point, and then I have them come back as a follow-up before I prescribe.
Okay. And you have, I didn't see it on your forms, and it may be there.
Do you have any part will you go back into how many years they were on birth control pills, smoking, all that good stuff?
I'd have to look at my form again, but I don't think I prescribe any bioidentical hormones to anybody that smokes at this point in time.
Okay. And I'm done with my questions. Let me run through the board real quick and see if anyone has anything else. Ms. Tibbetts?
I don't have any questions.
Ms. Gallen?
I don't have
it. Dr. Campbell? Dr. Campbell, are you there?
I don't have any questions at this time. Thank you.
Okay. Dr. Spatt, any more questions?
No, but I'm just curious. Dr. Norris, do you do follow-up for blood tests after, like, let's say 3 to 6 months when a patient is on hormone? Do you do follow-up blood tests at all?
So with women, typically I don't, unless there are issues with them, like they have bleeding or anything like that. With men, I do, yeah.
And the reason?
With women, the reason I don't, most of my women are menopausal and not a lot of changes with them. And prescribing, as far as my understanding is, I'm prescribing minimal doses. And so it's just, no particular reason.
Okay. And then how come you need to do blood tests for the manpower? So what was the reason for that? Is that, are you concerned about the testosterone, or what are you concerned about?
With men, I'm prescribing an injectable testosterone, and I feel like that's a higher dose of medication in general. And I want to make sure that it's not aromatizing to the estrogens or causing any breast development or any complications with their prostate, you know, just really any complications at all whatsoever. With women, the dosage, even though it's not less important, the dosage is just so much lower of everything.
Okay, I just wanted to see what the other train of thought is. Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you.
And Dr. Rubin?
I don't really have any more questions.
Dr. Norris, with men, obviously you're checking the TSAs, et cetera.
Yes, sir.
And Dr. Satterley, if I just maybe kind of have maybe like a one final thought on this. As I indicated in my remarks earlier, I think a lot of the issues that have been pointed out here are remedial things that can be addressed through continuing education. With respect to Dr. Campbell's discussion earlier about Dr. Norris's intake process with respect to the bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, again, all good points, and something that I think is absolutely a best practices type thing that she's committed to certainly making use of, and again, I think could be addressed through a non-disciplinary educational process. And as you can see, she's been here, she's been direct with you, she's tried to answer your questions as directly as possible, and she's made, with respect to the certification process that was pointed out in the original complaint, she's taken necessary steps to take corrective action, which I think is supported by the fact that there's been no other reports that have been presented from any time since she left working with Dr. Price at his chiropractic practice. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Board, so let's go ahead and make a motion, and then we can just pass this around. But I'll make a motion for non-disciplinary CRCME would be payable. She could probably give those to the evening pay. And hours would probably be, I'm thinking, in addition to the current CBE. Need some discussion on that.
Dr. Satellite, this is Dr. Rubin. What subject are you suggesting she study for CME?
Well, that's a good point. One of them could be if we, the ACMA has an 8-hour charting course, which might be, I think you brought up a little bit earlier, possible cut and paste, et cetera. Maybe that would help her learn basically how to not do that and then put some of the current things that you brought up earlier. If you want to do chronology as part of that, then perhaps you could add that or delete from the hours of charting.
This is Dr. Rubin. Yes, I'm in favor of CE, how you stated it. And I'm in favor of endocrinology, but if there's a way to have it be specific related to screening exams and appropriate screening methodology while prescribing bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, then I'm in favor and actually would assert that we ask the nurse to undergo. I don't know if there is something like that now.
This is Dr. Rubin, answer my question I was going to ask. I wanted to know what he recommended for changes and the training that she has been doing. Do we know if there's any theory that's similar to what Dr. Rubin just described?
I believe there'd be a couple sources that would be
able
to look at. One would probably be obviously online, the University of Arizona would have that. Also, some of the other organizations, there's an organization within, I believe it's within Arizona, that is actually for endocrinology and CME. I don't have that in front of me, but that would be an option strictly dealing with endocrinology and assessment.
Okay, thank
you. This is Vera. So the way this would work is that there's been a motion, and then to be seconded, then there should be that discussion, and if you want to amend the motion, then it would be that.
This is Dr. Rubin. I apologize. I said these things. I said that motion.
Okay, thank you. That is
okay. Okay, now we need to craft that a little bit. And Dr. Rubin brought up putting some endocrinology into this also. Do you want to add that, Dr. Rubin, to the 8 hours of charting? Do you want to delete from the charting and go for endocrinology?
This is Dr. Rubin. I would say that I would not add to it. I would include endocrinology specifically in the realm of screening along with when giving bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, and it could be a minimum of 4 hours of that 8 hours, which is concurrent, or which is considered inside of her required annual CME.
Okay. So you would add that to her CME, her CME normal yearly evening hours is what you're proposing.
I'm saying that contained within the normal annual, I think 30 hours, so she doesn't need additional, she just needs to focus. I was under the impression that you were saying that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to add that to the current community, but into the CME program. So what we're coming up with is 8 hours within, that would be part of her 30 hours of CME. Obviously, there's opioid on top of that, but, and then you're saying part of the 8 hours you'd want 4 hours of endocrinology or 2 hours of patient assessment of endocrinology.
Isn't that the, are you asking Dan Urban?
Yeah, I'm asking
Dan. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm the Dan Urban. Yes. At least 4 hours within the 8 hours, within the 30 hours, related to screening exams regarding safety run by VHRT prescribing. The folks that's hearing me.
Are you okay backtracking on this, but the non-disciplinary portion of this?
Absolutely, that was setting your motion.
Good. All right, so you
want to take
the motion, or
would
you like me to?
This is
Dr. Rubin.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Ms. Barrett, if you could tell us if you're amending your motion, or my motion.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and amend my motion. Dr. Rubin, second, we're trying to craft the do you want me to make that change, or do you
want to
verify that?
Oh, no. Ms. Dr. Rubin, please go ahead and amend it.
Okay. So, let me back a little bit. Is that okay with you?
No, it's your motion to amend that.
Okay. So, I'll amend my motion. We're including the 8 hours within the 30 hours, and 4 hours of that will be for medical charting. And maybe 1 or 4 hours, so you may have to go a little bit more with that. And then utilizing the tailoring of Dr. Rubin, please include 4 hours of that in terms of hormonal prescription prescribing bioidentical risk benefits alternatives to US
Dr. Sadlick, if I may interrupt, I'm sorry, this is Gail Anthony. Did you want that pre-approved by board staff? So, Dr. Sadlick, your amended motion was 8 hours of non-disciplinary CME to be included with the 30 hours required each year for renewal, 4 hours specific to medical charting, 4 hours specific to hormonal screening, and the CME must be pre-approved by board staff.
So with this new motion, or amended motion, then we're going to probably need to do roll call.
You'll need a second.
I need a second.
Dr. Mayor, then you second that. I apologize for the delay.
Okay. Dr. Sadlick. Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Thank you, Dr. Thank you, Ms. Williams. Have a good day. You too. Okay, let's move on. We have Dr. Ms. Hanning to give us a review on that.
Okay. Dr. Salik, members of the board, the State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board received a notice from the Arizona Department of Health Services outlining an apparent discrepancy between the number of medical marijuana certifications issued by respondent between January 1st, 2020 and May 31st, 2020, and the number of CSPMP database queries respondent performed during that time frame. According to the notice, respondent certified 111 patients for medical marijuana during that time frame and queried the database 84 times. Respondent was notified of the complaint and asked to respond to the information provided by DHS. In a response to the board, respondent stated, quote, I have been providing medical marijuana certification service for the past 7 years and have always been thorough in helping and keeping accurate medical records and following licensing regulations. I believe the discrepancies referenced in the ADHS notice could have happened inadvertently due to technical difficulties I experienced with the website periodic mandatory password change requirements and password resets. On September 22, 2020, board staff subpoenaed a list of medical marijuana patients from the time frame in question, and based on that list, 5 patient charts were subpoenaed. Records for all 5 patient charts appear to meet the standard for adequate medical records. Based on her response and supporting documentation, it appears respondent did experience some level of technical difficulty with the CSPMP system. Respondent appears to have reached out to the pharmacy board on several occasions in an effort to resolve the matter.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon, everyone. So, in the past, I received a similar kind of information from the state regarding the PMP searches, and I think it was regulated. And at that time, that issue was resolved with further evaluation. So, since then, I have been very diligent about my PMP searches and making sure I'm checking for all the patients that I'm required to do so. And during the period that was of the concern, I was having issues logging into the system, and this problem has been there for years. The reason was my email is HIPAA regulated, so it has extra protection in the back end, which does not let me or the PMP email to come into my server. So I had to go through this every 3 months. I have to talk to them at least, like it takes me a week or so to get this resolved. And during the 2020, it took a lot longer than my usual time frame for me to resolve, and it just there was no way that we could resolve the situation at all. So I had to completely stop that email and open up a new Gmail account that does not have any security protocol, just for the PNC purposes. So I believe that could be a reason the discrepancies were coming. And the other, I believe that most of my patients, we send out medical records to their physicians before I do their evaluation. And sometimes it might take a month, 2 months, or even longer for certain patients. So I believe if I did the search on them in the previous quarter, and if I'm doing the evaluation for them on this quarter, maybe that might be of a concern. In the past, as I said, when I first experienced this concern with the state, that was a big priority for me. So I started to make sure I do the DEA searches right before I sign off on their chart note to make sure I have all their paperwork ready, everything is good to go, and I can search for the entire time period from that the day I'm signing to 12 months prior. And we also have our patients sign a separate form to make sure that they're not using any kind of pharmaceutical or controlled substances or even recreational drug abuse before or when they are at the office signing their paperwork.
Okay. And then is your practice basically a general medical type practice?
That's correct. Yeah, general naturopathic medical practice.
Okay. So let me get some board here. By the way, you're charting. Are you, what EMR are you using?
That's charm. PCGR.
You're charting. Yeah, correct. But let me go and ask the rest of my board members what their opinions are. Ms. Tippett, do you mind if I start with you?
Sure. I don't have any questions, though.
Okay. Ms. Gallen?
Same. I don't have any at the time.
And then Dr. Campbell?
I do not have any questions either. Thank you.
Okay. And Dr. Spaff?
I don't have anything there this morning either. Thank you.
Okay. And then let me go to Dr. Rubin.
Thanks, Dr. Sarah. No, I don't. I appreciate Dr. Nanjala, for being here. I'm good.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I think, you know, your charting is good. I think you understand the system, obviously. You know, charm or whatever you want to use. Just that you probably already have figured out. Just try to stay away from cut and paste. Because that's where things can get a little bit squirrely. But I think you got the point with the charting, and then I'm going to see you doing the PMP. As we discussed before, if you don't have all the data, there's no urgency, and this isn't the ICU, there's no urgency to submit the PMP until you have your all the data on the MCAT form. I'll make a motion to basically to dismiss this case.
This is Dr. Rubin. I assume you have to send this motion.
Yeah, can you do roll call on that motion?
Yes, Dr. Sadlick. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye. Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Let's go ahead and move on.
Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, on July 9th, 2020, the board reviewed case number 2154 regarding the use of credential by an unlicensed person. Ms. Lovelight presented to the board for initial review of the matter. On that date, the board voted to allow Ms. Lovelight 30 days to remove from the web at large her use of title. Additionally, the board requested Ms. Lovelight to submit a written statement to the steps she had taken to comply with the removal of the protected title. On August 3rd, Ms. Lovelight supplied the board with the requested written statement. On January 15th, review of the internet at large was completed by board staff. Based on the review, it appears Ms. Lovelight has complied with the board's request. With the exception of the alignable website, Ms. Lovelight said she contacted the website but was unable to speak with anyone.
Me or?
You talked about lineable and then we lost you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me repeat. Ms. Lovelight said she contacted that web page but was unable to speak with anyone.
Out there, I take it pretty much been expunged or removed.
Based on my review of the webs, the web at large, that is correct.
Okay. So I'm going to
No, I mean, I was just going with board staff recommendation, which I think is on page 11.
Right. And then,
Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts? Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. And let's go ahead and move on to the draft minutes of February 11th. Anyone that have questions or comments about it? Or addendums we need to make? Motion for the draft minutes of February 11th, 2021, that would be the open session that we approve.
All those in favor? Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries. And Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, you have seen this report before. I had it in last month's packet, but the it was not on the agenda, so we couldn't discuss it. So I wanted to put it back on the agenda this time to see if anybody had any questions about anything on the report.
This is Dr. Rubin. I don't have any questions. I just had a comment. Martin knows that both staff and Ms. Anthony, in my opinion, is doing a great job. And thank you.
Oh.
But also that it does seem like it continues that the majority of our cases are MMJ cases. Which, you know, does, for me, suggest that our doctors that we whose license we, vote on, instead of getting licensing and monitor that they're practicing well. People are not complaining about them, but there's some kind of consistency with what's going on in the MMJ world. And other than that, I'm going to reserve everything to the opportunity for new business.
Okay. Do you have any resolutions? Do you want to perhaps reach out to AZMA, ask them to do an hour on how to properly do a PMP?
I think you're asking me. Okay, yes, and totally. I hope that there is a resolution. And yes, I think it would be wonderful if AZMA could do that. But not all the positions that licensed are members of AZMA, nor will we see that communication. And I don't know if it's some kind of friendly neighborhood reminder from board staff to all licensed positions that they simply are required to do their own PMP checking when it comes to MMJ certification. That seems more reasonable to me.
And Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, this is Gail Anthony, and I do from time to time issue like a blast email to everybody, and so I would imagine that there would be no problem with me just reminding folks that, about the CSPMP and medical marijuana, crafting the language so we're not giving them legal advice or legal interpretation of the law, but just making them aware of what the statute requires and what the act requires. So I could certainly do something like that.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion, Dr. Rubin. Dr. Spatt, since you also have seen this before, do you have any other suggestions, or Dr. Campbell?
I think the optional settlement have passed. So I think that in the future we'll have to update MMJ certification so we don't run into this problem. But again, I do suggestion as well. And if you do a blast email to all the NASH pass, that'd be great for you, to check the PMT, that'd be great. But I think that, especially this year, I think that it's going to be less and less of MMJ certification by NASH pass. So, but either way, we all want to protect our profession. So, yeah, shoot an email just to remind them all, and that's all. Yeah, and that's all.
Dr. Campbell, anything to add?
Yeah, I think it's a terrific idea, and we all need helpful reminders from time to time.
Ms. Tibbetts?
No comment.
Okay. And Ms. Gallen, anything to add?
I didn't say anything.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. There may be somehow there might be confusion about 207 versus certifications, et cetera. So perhaps just a quick reach out to the board and perhaps easy to make it, do the same for us. Let me move on then to any more questions about the executive director report? Then let me move on to number 9, which would be future agenda items. Do any board members have something they want to be on the agenda that's not on there now that we need to address or discuss?
Whatever happened to that minor surgery that we might have? Some of our NASH facts who are doing minor surgery. Have we come to any conclusion how we're going to handle it in the future?
Do you recall how we couched that, or are we going to look into more, or I'm going to ask Sarah that, are we going to look more into state statute, didn't know that was an area of concern or questioning.
If I recall, we were going to look into how it's defined or if it's defined in statute. We know it's not defined in our statute, but I think maybe Ms. Asta was going to look into definitions, but we can certainly pick that back up and bring it before the board at the next meeting if that's what you'd like to do.
Would that be okay with you, Dr. Spratt?
Yeah, that's fine with me. Thank you.
Okay. And then rule number 10, we've gone through all the way to 10. So number 10 is called the public. So if we can address the board, is there anyone out there on the phone line that needs to address the board?
I would.
And who are you?
I'm sorry, this is Julie Seaver.
Okay.
I'm just curious, the Porter case was supposed to be continued this month. I'm curious if there's a timeline on that.
Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, Dr. Kiefer, I believe I reached out to you. We are, we're probably putting that on the next agenda. You and I can certainly have a conversation about that. Okay, thank you.
Yes, Ms. Anthony, are you in the boardroom? Is it open to the public?
I am in the boardroom, yes. It is open to the public.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that they thought also that they could address the board, because I think it was specified that people were on the phone with and talk to the board. I just want to make sure everyone knows.
Do you know, do you have any visitors with you today?
I do not. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, nobody else is here.
All right, so I don't hear any of the comments. Board members, anything else before we move on to 11? Okay. So it is 1:54, and we're officially adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for your interest.